Hey, everybody, welcome back to Auto Nerd. My name's Andy. Let's go ahead and talk car sales. So on the last podcast, I talked about there's something that I'm going to talk about this podcast that I don't normally have time usually to discuss, and I rarely ever bring it up. And the reason I never really bring it up is because, well, I'm never asked to really talk about it. When you go to get into this business, there's a lot of things that people don't tell you. And then there's a lot of things that people will tell you that are patently incorrect. And so I'm going to try to iron out a few of those things. Now, you have to remember a few things about me. First off, I've been in this business a very long time. I've seen an awful lot of different dealers in my day. And at the same time, I've worked with thousands of salespeople. So I'm coming at you with this with quite a bit of experience backing. Now, of course, with this, there's always exceptions to the rule. All right. So as I'm going through a few of these things, there'll be times when you're going to scratch your head and go, that's not quite like that. Well, a couple of rules for myself is that I'm always going to give you factual information. Secondly, when it comes down to some of the information that I am going to give you, if it sounds relevant, but it sounds a little off, keep in mind, it might be something new that you just haven't never experienced before. So I'm going to talk to you as though you are somebody aspiring to be a car sales consultant. So you decided that you needed a job. You decided that you wanted to go ahead and get into this business. Well, this business is about as unforgiving as it gets. So I'm going to give you the black and the blue here, and then we'll get into like the really awesome stuff. So the black and the blue side is that this business is hard. It's not easy. I see people online complaining all the time that, hey, I'm blowing myself out. And they do, because this business is not a business that is for the timid. It is not a business for people that simply want to go ahead and just maintain the status quo, right? If you want to pay your bills, in some ways, go get a normal job, right? If you wanted to excel ahead, car business is for you. You just need to understand a couple things about the car business. This is a business that holds true to the golden rule of sales, meaning that it is a business that the more you put into it, it will pay you back if you're doing your job correctly. If you're not doing your job correctly, then you'll just be spinning your wheels the whole time and nothing really ever progresses forward. But the other side of that is that if you ever let off the throttle and you stop putting effort forward, this business will go ahead and eat you alive. It's the nature of the beast. It's why pay plans are the way that they are. If you are not performing, the dealer is going to give you your draw, which is going to be just enough to keep you going and to get you through the end of the month. But if that happens again, more than likely the dealer is going to fire you. The thing with this business is that you have to perform. It is a business where you can operate as your own entity. And once we all get that in our heads, that we are our own entity and we are responsible for ourselves, then you can go ahead and start making the money. We have to stop this idea that car sales, I work at a dealership, therefore there will be business coming in, and therefore I can succeed based off what they have coming in. This is the wrong way to go about sales, right? So I recently read a post and which spurred me into action recording this last week, all about on Reddit about this kid who just blew himself right out. And the whole time I'm reading this thing, I'm like, you weren't cut for this cloth to begin with, right? In this, it says, in the interview process, they said, I can make $100,000 a year. Can you make $100,000 a year in this business? Oh, heck yeah, you can. But the thing is that will everybody make $100,000? No, it's not. $100,000 selling cars isn't hard to do. But to do it consistently every single day, put in the same effort that it takes to get to that plateau is not easy. It does take a significant amount of talent to go ahead and pull that off. In this business, it's not free money. You have to understand is that most dealerships buy the vehicles, right? Or they have them floor planned through the manufacturer in one way or another. But either way, you get the vehicles on the ground. From the point that they hit the ground, the dealership starts paying on those cars, right? They have to pay their payment. They finance those things in a very similar way to how your customer does. So if the dealer ends up living with the vehicle for 20 years, that vehicle is paid off in one sense or another. But because that clock is ticking, the dealer wants that car gone. And if that's the case, that means that we need to find a buyer for that thing now. But most sales consultants will blow themselves out of this business and stress themselves out, never be able to even go as far as paying their bills or breaking over their draw simply because they are dealing too in depth with the process. And what I mean by this is that we overly obsess about, you know, the way that the road to the sale is. And I'm going to create, right after this, I'm going to have a whole series on the road to the sale and why each road to the sale is the way it is, with a lot of humanistic and psychological backing behind each part. So just wait for those. It's for everybody, whether you're new or you've been in this business for like 50 years. But when you go ahead and you obsess about next step, and if you have, let's say you are that manager, or you have that manager that you're breathing down the throats of your sales consultants, or you're a sales consultant that feels that your managers have beaten you up left, right, and sideways. Couple things I want you to know. If your manager's beating you up, there may actually be a reason for that. And you might want to dig into that a little bit. Like if you notice that you're the only one getting yelled at and on the sales board, you're pretty low. It's time for you to reinvigorate, right? Now, in addition to that, when it comes to yourself just not selling cars, I want you to keep this pretty much tattooed on the inside of your eyelids for the most part. Don't literally do that. It's probably not healthy for you. If you are not having fun in this business, the customer sure as heck isn't having fun. I know that sounds incredibly simplistic, but when you look at sales, especially car sales, and you'll hear me say this an awful lot, is that right now we have customers that are armed with more information than they've ever been armed with before. Meaning that when they come into your dealership, most of them are ready to buy right then and there, right? But we have this ability to turn and burn a customer based on whether they simply, get this, ready, like us or not. Now, when your customer's out shopping for a vehicle, they're not necessarily shopping for the car, so to speak, right? They're beyond that in most circumstances. Now, yes, they might come in and we might move them to another car that we feel is going to be better. But the sales consultants that are good at that have acknowledged that, hey, I can move this customer over to, let's say, this used car, make myself a couple extra bucks and still fulfill the customer's needs and make them happy. Or B, I have a customer that's coming in and I'm going to flip them to another car just simply because that vehicle just simply works better for them. But the moral of the story is that when you are working with somebody, it's about them. It's actually very little about you. If you feel the need in this business to put you first before the customer, you are playing the role of a salesperson, right? And I call this individual the show floor drone. Now, the show floor drone is somebody that will put themselves first every single time, right? This is a form of narcissism. And this particular individual doesn't care one lick about the customer. And this is terrible because here's the thing, motivated people that are happy, will go ahead and pay more money. It's proven. And here, let me put some gravity on this. Do you need that Xbox? Do you need that PlayStation? Do you need that massive television? Do you need, you know, half the things in your life, right? Do I need a lot? Actually, I kind of do. But when it comes to this stuff, as you start to go through life, we accumulate all of these little things, and then all of a sudden our desires take off. Well, what you're not told when you get into this business is that it's about relationship building. It's about getting somebody to a point where their emotional state is heightened on the product that you are selling to the point where they can no longer feel the gravity of saying no. It's, yes, I need this because X, Y, and Z, right? And this will improve my life because of X, Y, and Z. But if we go ahead and simply try to sell the car because we're selling cars, you will almost fail most of the time. When I see sales consultants that are in the 10 to 12 car area, what I typically find is that they're selling the car, right? Is that they're going through the vehicle and they're covering every little single piece of the car. Well, the human brain can't retain all of that. So if you're a customer coming in, yeah, you're buying from somebody that is well-informed, knows their product, and that's really good. I'll never tell you not to learn your product. But what I will tell you is that the royalty skills in this business are not necessarily product knowledge, right? Product knowledge is critically important. It is a part of your job. You should have product knowledge of whatever product you're selling. But in this business, the royalty skill is becoming a great conversationalist, becoming somebody that always puts the customer's needs before your own. You see, this was something that I struggled with for the first year selling, is that in the first few months, I got it, right? I didn't know any better. I went on out, and I'll remember those first few months forever. They were incredibly fun and very memorable, because in this business, I was able to go ahead and just walk over to somebody and start talking to them about the cars, how much I love them, you know, the cool things that they could do. And a lot of people, you know, they enjoyed that. But I did notice over time is that I started to learn the business. And as I started to learn the business, I started to do some of my manager's job, which is not something you ever want to do. And the reason for this is that we have separate jobs for a reason, right? And this seems to be something, again, that's never really explained, is that your manager's job, and in many ways, is like a, and I don't mean any offense if you are a manager, is almost like an over-glorified inventory specialist in a way, right? That also needs to babysit people. And this is kind of a tough dichotomy of skills for them, because now I need to go ahead and regulate my inventory and make sure that there is profit in it. And at the same time, I need to babysit all these people on the showroom floor that, in my mind as a manager, if I'm going on the wrong path, they're not selling enough, and I'm going to go ahead and start to scream at them. So the thing is that with us, a very skilled manager will go ahead and look at you and go, hey, listen, my job's over here. I got to take care of these products, and I need to talk to the ownership and make sure that I report back that cars are moving every day. Your job is to make it enjoyable for the customers, so the customer actually wants to buy a car from you. Because on every single report that we take a look at, whether it's JD Power and Associates, whether it's Consumer Reports, whether it's, it doesn't really even matter. And every single sales report that has come out pretty much since the beginning of mankind, the individual selling the product has been the defining marker as to whether somebody buys or not. Which means this: today you work in a building, or you're aspiring to work in a building with a bunch of other people doing a very similar job, right? We're all selling on the floor, including management most of the time. And the dealer is gracious enough to put a brick and mortar facility, give you a desk, give you a phone, at the same time, then go ahead and order inventory and pay for it, put it on the lot to make it easily accessible to you. And all you need to do is create a great relationship with an individual, figure out what they want, get them to trust you enough to allow them to tell you how exactly to sell them a car, and then present a vehicle that's going to work best for them in the end. Right? Golden rule of sales has always been people do business with people they know, like, and trust. It's not people do business with the product. If that was the case, people would be buying a product and then moving on to another product and another product, and there'd be zero owner loyalty. Loyalty is generated by trust, by building great rapport. So this is a you business, and that is something that is never really talked about very much, is that if you want to be in this business a long time, learn the people. Learn how to set up a conversation. Learn how to have a great conversation. Learn to be a killer conversationalist. There's tons of books out there to help you, and I'm going to have a lot of content coming out on that stuff. So do me a solid. Click subscribe, right, to the podcast, or if you're watching this on YouTube, click subscribe right now. I mean, the button's right there, and then click the little bell next to it. Because the content that I'm going to be coming out with, if you're new in this business, or you're looking on how to buy a car better, or you're just wanting to learn more about this business, it's a people business. Right? So, I mean, I can go on and on and on about, you know, the tactics that individual sales consultants are going to use, and I can go ahead and blow holes in almost every single one of those. Reason being is that you're going to be told when you go into a dealership and you get one of your, you know, when you get a job as a car sales consultant or a brand ambassador or whatever you are called today, you're going to be told that, well, you need to become a great closer. Okay, another thing that you are never really told well. This is like saying that there's a fire blanket under the hood of a car. It's not a fire blanket. It's there for sound dampening. And it just drives me nuts whenever I hear that, right? Any engineer will run away from me if you say that. But when it comes to going to the dealership, going to the interview, getting the job, that alone is grueling. And then when you're told by, you know, anybody that, well, you need to become a good closer, you don't make money closing. You don't. If you make money closing, it's because your profit margin was so high that you were able to give the customer a couple pennies and still retain something, or you're holding so much on the trade that all of a sudden you're able to go ahead and have all of this profit because the customer said yes to whatever number you gave them on their trade. So the thing is, at least with myself, is that efficacy does play a very high note when it comes to my personal vision of car sales, because people aren't looking to get you. People aren't out to simply go ahead and take us down. When people are buying cars, they're looking for help most of the time. Now, yes, you will run into a couple of bad apples that will be out there to get the sales consultant, but those people are very, very far and few between, right? So don't invest too much time in this whole, like, I need to become a great closer. The best closers in this business, the people that are making the most money, the people that are selling 70 cars a month. Yes, I do know quite a few of them. Those individuals are incredible conversationalists. I've had lunch with a few of them that I have trained. And next thing you know, these individuals are like talking your ear off, but it's the only time that they get to speak. If you watch them during the sales process, they don't say a darn word. Actually, they're so creepy quiet during the sales process, you have to actually wonder if they're doing anything. What they did in the beginning is they asked great questions to keep the customer talking, and very in-depth conversation coming out of the customer. And as that in-depth conversation continues to go, just like the bartender example that I gave earlier, is that they are allowing the customer to build trust in them. Right. So, and that was just done by getting somebody to talk. And 80% of the conversation, old classic rule that we're all taught, is 80% of the conversation is all about the customer speaking, and 20% is your turn to talk. 90% of the conversation must be about the customer, and only 10% should be about the product that you are selling. So very, very, very little of the conversation should actually be about that product, because keep in mind, customers are already sold in the vehicle when they walk in, right? And they're only looking for 5 to 7 things on the vehicle to actually make their life better. So when it comes down to this, I'll get into the whole needs and wants thing much further in depth later on. But the thing is that in this business, you have the ability to pull off greatness. Every single person does. It's the ability to keep going, which is the hardest. So do yourself a solid. I know you subscribe to this podcast. Go back a couple podcasts, and there's a podcast that's called Ending the Drought. Take a look at that, because straight up, the customers never change. And we make all these excuses as far as, well, the customer's different here, the customer's different here. Hey, gang, none of us have the power to collectively change the viewership of a whole bunch of people all at once. It just doesn't happen. I am sorry to burst that bubble on you, but when it comes down to it, the customer never changes. So even during the crash in 2008, we still saw great success in the automotive industry. You know, even at the beginning of the crash, when it was very speculative what was going to happen with everybody's money, sure, naturally, collectively, all at once, we all slowed down buying everything. At that day, the buyer changed. Beginning of COVID, we saw the same thing. But funny thing about these times is that even though the faucet turned down, the sales consultants that were still grinding it out there, making the phone calls, putting in the effort, these were the people that were hugely successful at this point in time, because people wanted to buy. It was just that they didn't want to come in. And so once we got over that hurdle, all of a sudden everything started to open up and everything was great. The point of this whole podcast is this, is that in this business, you are wholly reliant on yourself for your success. Now, there might be people out there that are going to go ahead and help you. It might be, you know, somebody like us over at Auto Nerd. It might be your corporate trainers. It might be, you know, somebody out there to give you that assist when you absolutely need it. The moral to the story is never, ever stop investing in yourself. Okay? When people say things like, well, you got to be a good closer, learn how to be a better opener. Right? There's no way that you can learn how to close or the customer's motivations for closing other than some sort of financial basis if you don't know who that individual is. In addition to that, when it comes down to the other things as far as the struggles that the average car sales consultant has, like I said, it's going to be hard. But the toughest thing for us to do, which is something that we have to do, is to keep a positive headspace. As long as you can keep your headspace positive, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But as soon as you let this monster of a business take advantage of you and drive you into the ground, you're kind of done. That's just how the beast works. But take this, if you're going to take anything away from this post, take this thing, is that when somebody goes ahead and they come in to buy a car, if they don't buy, and then the next person comes in and they don't buy, and you're 5 people on into it, and you're like, why isn't it anybody buying? It must be the buyer. It's never the buyer. The buyer just wants somewhere else to buy a car. Keep in mind, there's a couple things that have to happen. First and foremost, the rapport has to be built. That's a must. They came in well knowing what they wanted to buy, right? What they ended up with in the end, it might be a little bit of a different story. But if you're burning through customers, it's not the people, right? It's not some special program that your dealership might not have or something along those lines. The deal is that you got to get out of your negative headspace. That is a number one. You want to be a success in this business? Get out of your headspace. You want to be a success in this business? Rely on yourself. You want to be a success in this business? Continually improve with your skills in the front half of the deal. Fact finding, knowing who the person is going to help you out a ton. So do me a favor, click subscribe if you got something out of this. This helps me help you in many different ways. If you're on the podcast right now, obviously you're taking a look at the subscribe button. Just go ahead and click that thing. If you are on YouTube right now, do exactly as the icon says. Bing! Go ahead, click that thing, click the bell, and you will get some new content. Now, for the next couple of podcasts here, we're going to be diving on into the whole road to the sale and how the road to the sale actually works and why those steps are in the positions that they are actually in. Now, if you've followed me long enough so far, you're going to know a couple of things. First off, I'm obsessed with tech. Secondly, I study a couple different areas. I've talked about, you know, how my studies in EV, my studies in ICE, my studies in CX, but my studies in CX or customer experience has also led me or paired up with another area of mine that I like to study an awful lot, and that's human behavior. So when it comes down to the psychology of the process, I'll walk you through that. It's going to be kind of interesting because I'm going to tackle the whole road to the sale from a completely different point of view than you've probably ever heard before and go through these specifics as to why these particular things are there and what you need to do to be hugely successful in these critical areas. So stick with me, hit the subscribe button so you get the bulletin of when the next podcast drops. In addition to that, I'll see y'all later. Happy selling out there. Go crush it. Make it a day. Talk to you soon. Bye.